Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we continue our look at those big questions of life. Today we ask the question, is there a God? It's a pretty big one, if you ask me. And people have all different kinds of opinions when it comes to this. You'll have an opportunity to see a few of those opinions in just a moment. But the question for us this morning is, amidst all those different opinions and ideas, who do we listen to? Who do we listen to? Who do we trust? Well, today our gospel lesson reveals to us something pretty impactful. God comes to us, doesn't he? And he reveals to us his favor. He reveals to us eyes of faith to see. He reveals to us good news that we are not alone, that there's a purpose to this life. There is meaning because our God is with us. Just listen to these words of Jesus again. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." God is in our midst. Not everybody recognizes it. Let's see what some people have to say. You may have to move the cursor over and hit the little button there. You're all right. Where's your cursor? I cannot find the cursor. You don't, huh? Okay, Eli will help out. It's always nice to know that when things change, there are others who know what they're doing. All right.
Anybody listen, I'd like to think that God is real.
I don't believe in God because the idea that an omniscient, loving being would judge me who is mortal and ignorant based on a few years' experience, I find to be rather a cruel thought.
All the power that God has, she did, has given to me. So we're definitely one.
I hope there's something else out there. It'd be fun to experience. Either that or we're all just evolved apes.
I was raised atheist. I don't believe in a higher power, but I also don't claim to know everything about the world. I don't know if there is one. I just pretend, I guess, and hope that there's something else out there.
Well, I'm sure you've noticed that things just don't last forever. They wear out, they break down, they no longer meet our needs as something better comes along. Well, over the past few weeks on these cold winter days, Rachel and I have been down in the basement cleaning, kind of trying to catch up. I think most of you know what I'm talking about, cleaning, that whole thing. We've been reorganizing because there's only so much shelf space and so much Christmas decorations, and you have to figure out how to get all that stuff into the shelves. So we've been reorganizing. We've been decluttering as stuff just seems to multiply over time. You don't know how that happens, but before you know it, it's just kind of coming out everywhere. And then, you know, that tidying up kind of thing, something you have to do after you've lived in the same house for almost 20 years now. And as we were down in the basement doing some rearranging and tidying and cleaning, I came across one of these. That's a new kind of self. No! You remember one of these? You had it hanging on the wall, and that cord, you had to take that thing around. This is a fancy one, though. It has buttons. Some of you maybe remember when it was just that rotary kind of dial in there. And the little kids are looking at me, what are you talking about? We've never heard of that. We don't even know what that thing is. Why would you? And a cord. Yeah. Wow. Some of us remember the days before cell phones, where we had to actually memorize phone numbers. Remember the list? You could just your friends, your family. You would just get to the phone and you just boom. You could nail it out. Remember, some of us remember, with the corded phone, it was in the kitchen and you had to get around the wall so your parents wouldn't hear what you had to say, right? You know, because you couldn't just walk away out of the room because you were connected. And how about, you don't hear it much anymore these days when you're on your cell phone, but that busy signal, on cell phones, you don't even get that anymore. It's amazing to me to think of all the things that were such a part of our lives that have become obsolete in the last 20 years. Think about the things in your home. Now, I know some of you still probably have them up in your closet, but really, do you use phone books anymore? I mean, and yet they still pass them out, don't they? And you're kind of like, why? Who's using these? I don't know. VCR, how many of you still have one of those down in the basement? Have you figured out how to stop the flashing? You figured out how to set it yet? You know, after 20 years? I don't know if anybody still carries the big box of laundry detergent around anymore. Anybody? Now it's those little pod things that you throw in into the wash machine. How about in our cars? Think about how much changed in 20 years. I still have a car actually that has crank windows where you have to roll them up and roll them down. Not many cars. I don't think any cars are made that way anymore with crank windows. They don't put ashtrays in cars anymore. That's because everybody vapes now. You know, so you don't have to get the ashes everywhere. And gone are car antennas. Yeah, you know that metal thing that used to stick up on the right front corner of your car? It's gone. I mean, but how about, you know, in our world, what have we lost in the last 20 years? I was thinking this week, well, boy, how about kindness? That's certainly a thing of the past, isn't it? People troll after one another online and call each other names and make everybody's life miserable. And then there's this thing of civility. You know, we've lost this ability to actually give people the benefit of the doubt in circumstances and situations. And then, don't even get me started, what's happened to common sense? It's just people just don't even seem to have it anymore. And I must say, it will be interesting. It will be interesting to see what the next 20 years will bring of new stuff. Somebody was telling me about in Sweden now, people can get actually a computer chip put into their skin. So when they purchase things at the store, all they have to do is walk by and they'll pay for their groceries or whatever it is in that way. But here's the thing, what's not going to go away in 20 years or 40 years or 60 years or whatever, how many years, is the debate that has been going on since the beginning of time. Is there a God? Is there a designer, a creator, a maker? Is there something more, or are we just here by chance? And here's the thing, no matter how this debate rages on, and no matter what side of the debate you may find yourself, here's the thing, we want to know, don't we? We want to know, is there a maker, a creator, or is it all just a great big accident? We want to know, and rightly so, I believe, because I think we were created to know. I believe it's written in our very DNA to find meaning and to have a purpose in life, as we talked about last week. I mean, we all want to know where we come from. But there just doesn't seem to be any easy answers, because there's all kinds of opinions on the subject. You just heard a few in the video this morning. The great designer, there is no God, I am an atheist, I hope there's something more. Yet I believe that the answer can be found, not as we look here to our intelligence or our wisdom, but as we look to the one who comes to us. For you see, our God is a God who comes to us in mysterious and in mind-boggling ways, as he comes to us in the world in which we live, as we look around and say, there's got to be something bigger than this. He comes to us in a book, in his word, even though it's interesting, the Bible never tries to prove God's existence. It just says, God is. In the beginning, God created. But even more mysterious and mind-boggling is that our God has come to us in the flesh, becoming one of us, showing us who he really is, a God of life, a God of love, a God who is with us in the everyday of life, in the joys and in the struggles and in real life. That's what we find in our gospel reading for today, don't we? Jesus comes, God with us in the ordinary, in the everyday. And as he comes, he reveals the extraordinary, proclaiming good news, giving us freedom, giving us eyes to see so that we can truly know and experience that our God is really and truly in our midst. And that's why over the next few weeks, we're going to see again that our God is with us as we are people who are ready to explore who this God really is. But more than just explore, I pray that we can be people who live lives that will really grasp a hold of this mystery as we experience God's favor in our everyday lives. As we live with a passion, as we live with a purpose, as we live like God is actually with us. Because you see, this is our mission as followers of Jesus. This is our calling. This is our purpose, to reflect God to the world, to love as God has loved us. Because we have experienced the fact that God's love for us has changed us. We're the ones, not those out there, but we're the ones who've experienced God's power in our lives. Because we know that God changes things. We believe that God changes us, who we are and what we do, so that we can live a life that is willing to discover God's truth as we find what we're looking for and share it with the people that God brings into our lives, revealing to them this mystery. Revealing to our neighbors that there is good news in the bad news. Sharing with the next generation there is hope beyond today. Doing this so that the people we love can experience this life-changing love of God and be followers of Jesus too. And you see, this happens as we, the church, God's people, are living like God is with us. It happens when we, God's people, the church, are reflecting to the world this new life that our God has given to us. As we are people who are experiencing God's favor in our lives. Now, it's one of those childhood games that every kid loves to play. Hide and seek. Remember playing it when you were little? I'm sure you do. Remember playing it when your kids were little or grandkids? Somebody was telling me last night, yeah, I was with my 2-year-old granddaughter and I was playing hide and seek with them yesterday. I remember playing when my kids were young, little, you know, hiding in closets and under sinks and down in the basement. And, you know, the search would be on, right? And there'd be all this yelling and screaming and checking here and checking there. And when they couldn't find me, you know, and after I'd been there for a while, I'd start to make noises and start to bang. Like, okay, here's a little clue. You know, here's where I am. I would let them know that I was still playing. And they would then continue to search. They wouldn't give up. They'd keep on looking. Usually it was me who would give up because my legs were cramping up from being like stuck under the sink or something. Now maybe you've noticed that when you find yourself looking for God, he remains hidden. But he continues to give us clues that tell us that he's really there. Even when we find ourselves looking in the wrong places, God is always giving us clues, showing us that he is there. And he does it, I believe, in kind of unexpected ways. Because you see, Roman numeral 1, our God is a God who reveals himself. Yes, he may remain hidden, but the clues are all around. As we look at God's handiwork in the creation around us, in the beauty and in the complexity. I don't know how. I know some of you don't like this cold weather and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know how you could not stand outside last night and the moon shining down on the snow and go, wow, this is pretty amazing. This is pretty fantastic. And take a handful of that snow and look at it. Every single one of those snowflakes is unique and different, and say, well, this just happened by accident. Well, if you don't want to look at the big of creation, I mean, just take a look at the small. I mean, how does this body of mine function? I mean, it's amazing that most of our lives, it functions pretty well. We don't even have to think about a whole lot. But when one little thing gets off, a little rise in sodium or calcium, and it throws the whole thing out of whack to a point you can't even walk or talk. That just happens by accident? I don't know. But it's more than just out there in creation. I think there's something inside of us. We sense it in our own lives. We long for something more. We long for the things of God. I don't find it surprising that people want to be in relationship with one another. Because God is a God of relationship. And we do everything we can, possibly. We'll go crazy, you know, to be in relationship with people. I mean, I always think about it at Christmas time. You know, some families, when there's the brokenness, I mean, they'll do everything. They'll go all these different places, right? Because there's this longing for relationship. There's longing for rightness in our world. That justice would be done. We want things right. We long for restoration, for wholeness. I mean, God gives us those things as he, point number one, as he comes into our real lives, into our everyday. And he comes into the messes of life. We had a little sewage problem last week. Down in the basement that we were cleaning up, and that kind of got us started. You know, out of the floor drain came bubbling up this ooze of stuff, right? It's nasty, isn't it? Yucky. It's gross. But you know what? Life can be that way. You know that. Because you've experienced it. You've experienced the ugliness and the messiness and the grossness of life. As a result of the things that we do to one another. As a result of the things that we say to one another. As we are held captive by the sin and the brokenness in our lives and the consequences that it brings. Pain and suffering and brokenness and the struggles we face in our families, in our marriages, in our life. But here's the thing that is so amazing. We are not alone. As our God comes, point number two, bringing his favor. As he comes mysteriously, humbly, in weakness, into the messes of our lives and the mess of this world, and he comes, this God of the universe, he comes as one of us, standing in our place, taking on himself our sin, willing to sacrifice it all, to die in our place. You see, in Christ, we get a full picture of who our God is. A God who is willing to give his all, a sacrificial love that gives everything away and expects nothing in return. All so that we can know who our God is. So that we can experience a new kind of life. One that reflects the very nature of our God as we live the new kind of life that Jesus Christ has won for us by his victory over the grave. Giving us a life of meaning, a life of purpose. But living this life, let's face it, doesn't always come easy. As we find ourselves in a struggle to trust and to believe. Now, back in the day when I was younger, I was a pro wrestling fan. I bet you didn't know that about me. Some of you might remember those days. Bobby the Brain Heenan, The Claw, or Ivan Putski, the Polish Wonder. Randy Macho Man Savage, he was more on the later end of it. You know, he's a graduate of Downers Grove North, Randy Macho Man, or he was. He was actually a good friend of Jeff Summers. They grew up together and when they were younger. You know, here's the thing. Even though I was a fan, we knew it wasn't real. No, you didn't hear me say that. But we knew it wasn't real. We had fun watching it. But here's the thing. The life you're living, it's real. And it isn't always easy, this life that we're living, as we find ourselves wrestling with our doubts. Questioning God's plans and God's purposes. Wondering if God is really there and what it all means. But here's the thing, wrestling isn't a bad thing. In fact, I guess you could say pro wrestling's been around for a long time. Our God was in the business of it way, way back when he wrestled a man named Jacob. Right? And the two struggled that night, and it was in that struggling that Jacob learned to hang on, to hold on, even when it didn't make sense. Because you see, it's in our wrestling that we are drawn closer to our God as we recognize Roman numeral 2. Ours is a God who comes to us. Comes to us, point number one, as we live in this mystery. As we trust, even when it doesn't make sense, that God is with us. As we learn to live by faith. Now here's the thing. The people of Nazareth had God in their midst, and they didn't live by faith. And they missed out. They missed out on what God was doing. Let's not miss out. But instead, let us live out the mystery. As we take what we have been given, this longing for something more, this desire for restoration and relationship, let's take the gifts that we have been given and let us be the church, the body of Christ here in this world, living, breathing, life-changing body of Jesus. Because you see, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead has been given to us, his church, to reveal to the world who this God is of ours. This God of love, this God of grace, this God of mercy. As we actually do something with what we have been given. Because you see, here's the thing. God is with us. He's with us in the everyday of life. He's with us as we listen to his promises. He is with us as we are set free to really live our lives in a whole new kind of way. As we, point number two, reveal his presence. And how do we do it? We do it by loving others as God loved us. How do we reveal his presence? Well, we do it by living differently than the world around us, with different attitudes, with different actions. Because you see, when we live that way, our lives are impacted for the better, and so are the people around us. You see, God is in our midst, bringing good news. It's time for us to listen as we are people who are following Jesus together. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.